Welcome to the Concordia Publishing House podcast, where we consider everything in the light of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm your host, Elizabeth Pittman. On today's episode, we're joined by author Deb Burma. We're going to chat about how we can, in the midst of this busy season of Advent and approaching the start of a brand new year, how we can lean in to what really matters, even in the midst of the hustle and bustle of everyday life that we see. Before we get started with our conversation with Deb, I'd like to thank our friends at the LCMS Foundation for their support of the CPH podcast. Imagine a future where your God-given gifts continue to benefit your family and faith after you've been called home to heaven. The LCMS Foundation can help you create your gift plan so that your assets, things like your retirement accounts, home, or land, will leave a lasting impact on the people you love and the ministries you care about the most. Visit lcmsfoundation.org to learn more about creating your gift plan. Now on to our conversation with Deb. Deb, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a minute since you've been with us, and I couldn't think of a better person to have a conversation with. As we're in the middle of Advent, heading towards the end of the year, the new year on the horizon, how are you?
Oh, Elizabeth, I am well. I am well. Here we are, yes, halfway into December. It's been a great year, full of all kinds of mountains and valleys and everything in between. But isn't that true for you, for every listener, for me?
Absolutely. It has been, there have been a number of times throughout the course of this year where a coworker and friend of mine and I will look at each other when something has happened and we'll say, is there a full moon? And they're like, nope, that zero in 2022 has just been a full moon. It's been a year where it has not been an uneventful year, but there's been a lot of good that's come from it too. So it's great to see you again as we lean into what's coming next.
Isn't that exciting? And I think that's just it. As we reflect upon the last year, as we in the church year have already begun anew, with the season of Advent, the season of preparation, expectation, as we journey once again to the manger, as we remember that he came, Jesus came. I love this season, and I know I'm not alone. This walk to the manger, and as we anticipate then, ooh, the end of and then beginning of the next calendar year. So what is this as we reflect again upon this last year and as we lean in with focus into this season, the season that is so often filled with distractions, Elizabeth, as we're seeking to prepare, to focus, to have our eyes on our Savior, we're also filled with distractions. And the same could be said of that then quickly following New Year. That comes
oh, 100%.
On its heels.
Well, and I don't know about you, and it's a wonderful time of year. I love the lead up to Christmas and the Advent, especially when things start to settle down a little bit and you can take a deep breath and sit on the couch with a cup of tea and look at the tree or the Advent wreath. In my case, I wish the house were usually a little cleaner, but with the boys, that's not always the case. So you kind of take your sliver of peace where you can find it. But I think it's so easy this time of year. I was talking to my dad recently about my mom, and I'm like, she's obsessively worrying about all the Christmas stuff right now, isn't she? And he knew she was in the room, so we were FaceTiming. He nodded and was making the gestures like 100%. And it's so easy to do. It's so easy to let everything just overwhelm and bind us up to where we can't relax and step back. And so tell us about leaning into what matters in the midst. Before we get on to New Year, we'll get on to the New Year stuff in a minute, but let's talk this lead up where we're at right now. How can we lean into what matters so that we can relax all those other anxieties?
Ooh, that is a great question, and one that I hope, listeners, that you're all leaning in right now as we seek to look at this from a practical standpoint, a daily standpoint. What does it look like? What can it look like to lean in? When I lean in, I'm giving greater focus to what's directly in front of me. What's directly in front of us? We are 10 days away from Christmas Eve. We are walking steadily toward the manger. And the world around us says, lights, whistles, bells, gifts. Have you planned for the party, decorated your house? Is everything trimmed and decorated? Have you made the cookies? Have you prepared the gifts and the parties and the,
you mentioned cookies.
Elizabeth's face right now. She's already feeling overwhelmed. A bit of a
you mentioned cookies because last night, no joke, coming home from my son's basketball game, he comes in and this is, I don't know, 7 o'clock-ish. And he says, oh, by the way, if I can bring tomorrow, I'd like to go do this with you after school or after practice. But I also need to bring in Christmas cookies to my Spanish class for the extra credit that we can get. And I'm looking at him thinking, please tell me the cookies are not needed tomorrow. Please tell me they're not needed tomorrow. They weren't. They're needed Thursday. So I had like 36 hours. So tonight we're going to be figuring out Christmas cookies.
Terrific. Terrific. One more thing. And you know what's interesting, Elizabeth, and I believe we can all relate with this. These are good things. Most of what we choose to put on our plates this time of year, some are, you know, beyond our control. There are demands of us at work and through our children and the responsibilities that may come at us 12 or 36 hours in advance with barely enough time to plan. They are meant by and large for good. But it's
absolutely
the sheer quantity just grows to the point of overflowing this time of year. And we know, you know, as followers of Jesus, we know that we want to have focus on him. We want to be able to take that time apart to not feel so harried and hurried as we are restful and receiving. From harried and hurried to restful and receiving. Can there be a place for both? Well, I believe there can. And while some days don't play out the way we had imagined them, the way we had potentially even attempted to order them, I believe that most days we can choose with some attention to the intention of setting aside time to be alone with the Lord. And even amid everything else, as we seek his counsel, asking him to help us be mindful of the things that would remind us of him, even secular things, even daily things we see and experience at the grocery store, in the pickup lane at school, as we connect with coworkers, as we then head to worship, but are distracted even by the expectations there. This morning, I led chapel for our Lutheran school here in my little city of Columbus, Nebraska. And to watch with eagerness the anticipation of the children, I stopped into the sixth grade homeroom first. They were responsible for setting up everything for chapel today. And the readiness and expectation and eager faces before me showed me that I want to have that childlike wonder. And I saw that in their faces as I proceeded then to give a devotion about Christmas cookies. I had teachers choose, you know, one from kindergarten, one from first up through fifth, because I had six cookie cutters and they each got to share a shape. And we got to talk about how that particular shape would remind us of a piece from Luke 2 and Matthew 2 accounts. As we read them and we talked about that, as we considered that everyday activities and everyday sightings around our city and at home that can remind us of Jesus, even in the seemingly mundane or regular pieces of our day. So then I asked them if, you know, maybe your tradition isn't baking cookies the way mine is, but what are some of the things you like to do as families and how can that continually point you to Jesus so that whatever you're doing, your heart has a refocus, the leaning in and intentionality of where is Jesus in this? Well, first of all, he's with us. He's with us always. And that reminder, whether we're recognizing it or not, let's all receive that reminder right now that he walks with you as you walk to the manger on the distracted days and on the devoted days and every day in between. He's with you in that walk to the manger. And He can guide you to remember, to reflect, to pause, step back, and celebrate even in the moment. As one child spoke up today and said, my family loves to go look at the lights at, you know, in the evening, drive around and look at all of the lights. And we had just talked about the light of the world, the one who is the light who has come to pierce the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus, the true light, as John 1 says, was coming into the world, speaking of his incarnation, his birth. How sweet is that? So that's one piece of what we can do throughout this time, in these 10 plus days leading to Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Mindfulness, intentionality in the middle of everyday activity.
Well, we're going to take a detour before we go on to what might be a second thing. And if you don't have a second thing, I'll let you figure out what your second thing is. What are your go-to, so you mentioned like Christmas cookie baking is a tradition of yours. What are your go-to Christmas cookies?
Ooh, our go-to Christmas cookies are kind of special, I think. We were given a kit when the kids were really, really little that told the nativity story through the cookie baking. It was a story about grandma going to grandma's house and making sugar cookies. So a couple of that you may expect and a couple that you don't expect. 6 cookie cutters. The first is the sheep. How sweet it is that our cookie set contains a sheep. I have struggled to find one in the store to replicate, to give to my children now that they're young adults, to say, hey, take the sheep with you, because it was always a family favorite. You know, as Joseph and Mary are en route, the Roman government requiring that they travel from Nazareth in the north, all the way nearly 100 miles to Bethlehem near Jerusalem in Judea in the south, across rugged terrain, they travel. And was it the crowds because of the census? Was it because it was this tiny village, but there was no room for them in the inn? What I hoped the children took away this morning, and what I take away as I stare at my cute little sugar cookie shape, is the reminder that we are told in Luke chapter 2 that they laid Jesus in a manger. And that just gives away the fact that he was birthed in a place where animals feed and rest. A manger, literally a cattle or sheep feeding trough. So was Jesus likely birthed right there amid sheep of all critters? Yes. And nearby in their fields were the shepherds watching over their flocks by night. Incredible imagery as we consider these fairly low folks in society being the first to receive the news of God's promise, the promised Messiah for centuries now among us. A Savior has been born to you this day in the city of David, Bethlehem. He is Christ the Lord. And the angel goes on to tell the shepherds who are guarding their flocks, their little sheep, where they will find the babe. And so as I shared with the children, as the kids and I, my own children growing up in these cookie cutter shapes, as we would sing the songs, I just want to be a sheep, right? I am Jesus' little lamb. We would talk about the one who would then grow to become the good shepherd.
If you know the song, I just want to be a sheep, there's your earworm for the day.
Yes. So now that we've lost everyone because they're secretly singing it to themselves. But I am a sheep of the good shepherd. And John 10 tells us that the good shepherd, as Jesus himself says, lays his life down for the sheep. And as I discussed with the children in chapel, these shepherds, they're watching their flocks by night. They do not leave their flocks alone, protecting them from harm, guiding them, leading them to the green pastures, to the quiet waters. As we take note of Psalm 23, David, truly a shepherd, speaks of the Lord who is his shepherd. And Jesus, the good shepherd, yes, who not only protects, provides, holds, carries, leads, walks beside. He does all these things, and ultimately he lays his life down for the sheep. He too then, likened to the spotless lamb, the ultimate sacrifice once for all, when he allowed himself to be slain. his blood shed for us once for all. Jesus came in the manger. He comes to us today. He comes to us today in his word, in the sacrament. We remember our baptism. Jesus, come to us by grace through faith, filling our hearts today, ever present, always with us. And then Advent, the season of preparation, because he's coming again. He's coming back.
It really is. And obviously it can take some intentional, how did you phrase it? Attention to intention in the midst yes. of everything to shift our focus from the mess in the kitchen, from making the Christmas cookies at the last minute, to realizing, to pondering the nativity, to pondering the fact that this is why we're here. We're focused on remembering the coming of Christ, and resetting our focus. And it, I don't know, maybe it's age. The older I get, the more likely I am to, I found that I'm not getting all as worked up about as many things as I did when I was younger. And when the kids were younger, you know, they're, and I often have to remind myself, be careful what you start with children, because those traditions, they, if you don't do them 1 year, you'll hear about it. So,
oh, yes.
So it's kind of this time of year, you kind of those traditions that do pop up, you're like, okay, those are filtering out those that are truly meaningful. And that if we don't include them, we'll hear about, and those that it doesn't even matter. So I've gotten more and more comfortable with filtering out the things. I didn't put any lights up in the front yard this year. And I was telling a friend, I'm like, yeah, I really didn't do anything out front. They said, but your nativity is up. We have one of those white nativities. I'm like,
nice.
I guess you're right. We put what matters out. So just to be able to narrow down and refocus, it's hard to do, but it definitely is somewhat liberating when we can free up that space to focus on the real reason that we're looking at everything this season.
Yes. You just said it so well. And that is, I too feel that with each passing year, I'm saying, you know, if this doesn't get done, we still celebrate the babe who came in the manger. Mm-hmm. Just because this doesn't happen doesn't mean it's not, oh, Christmas.
Right. Right.
And yet there are so many things that we're like, well, I've heard friends say, oh, but it just won't feel like Christmas if we don't do this. You know, take this, make this happen. And it's actually been special to be a calming voice in others' lives and perhaps a conduit toward their own liberation from these things that feel like must-dos. Mm-hmm. And to say that at the end of the day, nothing can take away Christmas.
No.
I remember, you know, we all remember all too well in 2020 when there was the whole, is Christmas canceled? Well, absolutely not. In the eyes of a follower of Christ, there's no such thing as canceling Christmas as we celebrate the one who came, who's with us, who's coming again, whether we do something or not. Yes, I've given up other things this year, and I feel pretty okay with that.
I'm in the same boat, and at the end of the day, as long as we make it to church and worship and have that focus, it will feel like Christmas. It might look different. It may feel different, but it will still be Christmas, and we will still be able to remember that while we remember the birth at Christmas, Jesus is not still in that manger. He has been born, he has been crucified, risen, and has ascended, and we have so much to look forward to and remember that it's exciting to keep our focus on that and let the other things filter away. Now, it's a struggle for sure to be able to do that. It's like we're not perfect in keeping our eyes on that, but it is freeing when you can sit back and go, "Yeah, if I don't get those decorations out, no big deal. It's all good."
Right. Yes, agreed. And I think there's just much to be said about savoring the pieces that you, as time allows, the pieces that really fill you and feed you and perhaps your family. And maybe that includes some of the traditions that are favorites, not so much to check them off the list or, you know, all the appropriate boxes to make sure you made it to Christmas, but to be able to say, I don't gotta, I get to. Mm-hmm. To quote a pastor emeritus of mine, proper English, not so much, but I don't gotta. I get to.
I get to.
This will help me in my worship, in my practicing of his presence. Is he with me always? Yes. Oh, Lord, make me more mindful of that every day. So, you know, I mentioned there are two things I want to make sure I return to. One is to give you the other cookie shapes. And I will do those in a very quick nutshell. We spent long talking about the sheep because of the many facets and ways that that's a piece.
Because we just want to be a sheep.
We just want to be a sheep. So none compares. You notice I start with the sheep. And the others in our set were an angel, of course, the angel who spoke to the shepherds. And I must say this part, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for whom? For all
the earth.
Yeah, all the earth. The good news that's for you and me today. And it's a message of peace. God reconciling himself to man who was separated by sin, but reconciled now in the one who has come. The fulfillment of all the prophecies, Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel. So we have the angel, and of course, then the multitude of the heavenly host. And we like to joke about the fact that our angel was a huge cookie cutter. I mean, double the cookie mass of every other cookie. So to get an angel meant you got a lot of cookie, and you were pondering the heavenly host. Thousands of cookie cutter angels, just a few Christmas calories. But good stuff. So I digress. We have to have fun in this as well. So we have the sheep and we have the angel. And then two that kind of go together. We have the star and the camel. Hey, I bet a lot of Christmas cookie sets don't have camels, but ours did. Our poor camel, he wasn't designed the best and the head would often come off. But, you know, the kids really had fun with working the camel, as we talked about Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew's account, that has the wise men, the magi, coming from the east and following that star as God would have it in his timing, his lead of this star that then they would follow, that would move until it came to rest over the city of Christ's birth. So they've traveled. Do we know they traveled on camels? We take that in consideration. For a little bit in the prophecies, we don't read about it in Matthew, but also across rugged desert terrain, they likely traveled on camels. And there we have that imagery that they came to present gifts to the Christ child, and the star that led them, the camels that brought them there, and the reminder then that they brought the gifts. Why do we give gifts today? So then I can remind the kids, you know, some people have cookie cutters that are stockings and gift packages and various things that remind them of the gift giving that happens because of those first gifts and ultimately the greatest gift, the Christ child, the one who would grow to be our Savior. The shape we don't have at Christmas, but at Easter, is that of the cookie cutter cross where Christ died, gave up his life in our place, in our stead, went to the cross, but then rose 3 days later. What a beautiful message with the ultimate gift, the gift of salvation, eternal life that we have in Christ. So that brings us through. We're getting there. Got through most of these. Then there's the gingerbread man. And you're like, what? A gingerbread man? Can you?
I don't recall that being in Luke 2. Tell us about the gingerbread man in this.
But I'm going to take you back to a verse that we just shared already from Luke 2. The good news of great joy that would be for all the people. The gingerbread man just represents you and me, the people, the recipients of the greatest gift. As I shared that in chapel, the child who had volunteered and was standing there holding the gingerbread man, I said, who do you think this is? And he's like, the shepherds? And, you know, walking through people of the nativity, absolutely. And then I whisper to him that he should say into the microphone, you and me. But he looks at me funny and he goes, Jesus? Because the answer is always Jesus.
This is true.
Yes. But then I was able to share with everyone, meaning for all the people, the good news that is for all the people. You and I are part of the nativity story because he came for us. Yes. So the final one is definitely not in the account, but I kind of save it for the last. And yes, it was included in our kit. And that is the shape of the Christmas tree. And three main points that we made. First of all, the evergreen, the tree that does not go dormant, that gives us the reminder of life eternal, whose leaves stay green, everlasting life that we have in Christ. It points heavenward. And when we decorate it, we begin with the lights. One more reminder of the light of the world. So there you have it.
There you have it. So it's we kind of get a 1-2 punch this time of year. There's all the anxiety and the anticipation and the buildup to Christmas with all the, depending on how we're looking at it, must-dos or get-to-dos, everything comes. Christmas comes. There's a half a beat for a collective sigh. And then the pressure is right back on with the new year. The new year is coming. Have you made your New Year's resolutions? What are you going to change? What are you going to give up? What are you going to clear the clutter? It's a new year, a new start. What are you going to make of it? There's a little bit of, you know, self-inflicted pressure when we look at it from that way. How can we lean in to the new year, to any day really, but to the, as we look at the new year, how can we lean in a way that helps us navigate all of those pressures and expectations and gives us a chance to just sift through the noise and make sure that our focus on Christ is a priority in the coming year?
Excuse me. How indeed. Yes. Because what what you've said already nails it. That's what we want, right? We'd love to say that, oh, fresh start. And we love, you know, when we turn that calendar over, it's a new calendar year for us. And thus the popularity of the resolution. This is a new year, a fresh start. First of all, I want to remind all of us that that's the beauty of the grace we have in our Lord through Jesus Christ, that God declares to us in Lamentations that his mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So with a clean slate, forgiven, refreshed, renewed with each given day, could we look at the new year that way to remember that each day, a gift from God, each day is really a reset, a recentering. And yes, with that new year, okay, so maybe you're a person who just loves the idea of the resolution. Maybe you found all too often that it goes well for a day or two or a week or two, and then we're back into old routines because new routines are hard to set. And I've been told that to establish a new habit takes at least 21 days, 3 weeks, to establish in a way that we may be able to stick to it. But let's be real. You know, this thing called willpower only goes so far. Praise God. I actually love that phrase only for this reason, and that is that it has the word power in it. Far greater, incomparably greater than any willpower I can summon is his power at work in me. And a life verse, if you will, that has been just really sticking with me lately is from Ephesians chapter 3. It's verses 20 and 21. And from memory, I will try to at least give credibility to them by saying, now to he who is able to do far more and abundantly than all we ask or imagine, to him who is at power at work in us, to him be glory in the church and forever and ever, and so on. But the point of the verse, or verses rather, is that he, according to his power at work in us, he is able to do far more and abundantly than all we not just ask, but even imagine. So what can he, will he do in me and through me in the new year? I can, with absolute anticipation, expectation, and certainty, I can know that he's at work, that he who began a good work in me will carry it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. That's from Philippians chapter 1. Now, all that said, that all sounds nice and lovely, right? But it sounds like I've got this big umbrella. I start there because that's the truth. And that's where we hang our hats. Within that, what does that look like on a daily basis? Like, you know, I'd like to take better care of my body this year. I would like to be a better steward of my time. I would like to be a more patient mother. Whatever these things are that we may put up as our resolutions, let's remember who's in charge, within whose power, who's the one who truly empowers us. That's the one that we not only lean into to listen and learn, but we lean on him. We lean on him fully expectant that he will lead us well. He is our leader. On him we lean. How many times can I say it? I don't know. We lean on him. We lean in to listen and learn. And what does that look like in a daily way? Practically speaking, recognizing his lead, seeking his will at the start of our day, asking for his strength to help us to persevere in those places in which we struggle. He knows the desires of our hearts. And, you know, sometimes the ups and downs and, okay, the failure of a certain resolution that I was just certain I was going to follow this year is a reminder of my need for his grace. And again, his strength to rise again the next day. And instead of saying, I'm defeated, forget it, not even going to try again because I couldn't carry through, remembering that all things are possible in him, with him. He's at the helm. I am not. I follow his lead. So instead of adopting a posture of, I'm going to do this in this new year, thank you very much, I'm going to lean into his lead and recognize that he has more in store for me than I can possibly ask or imagine. And what might that look like practically speaking? I want to mention very specifically, because I even back at the time when I mentioned about during Advent and now even into the new year, one way was looking for Christ in the everyday. The other is that intentional time and space away from the crazy, if you will. And I would call it pausing from activity, listening more than we speak, and then doing what we can to eliminate the noise around us, even for a brief time, that we would prepare our hearts for a quiet time with him, to lean in and listen via his word. You know, I realize this is the most basic thing I could say, but it's at the heart of it. God reveals himself to us by his word, as the Holy Spirit works through his word to change us, to speak to us, to lead us into that day, into that plan for the new year. So what can it look like as I'm going to say it again, pause from activity, listen more than I speak. That's hard for me. Eliminate noise to focus on what he has to say to me. And that might mean having a few items at the ready. Have my scripture right there at the ready. A journal, a Bible study, something to take notes, a piece of chocolate, my coffee cup, for goodness sake. Whatever it looks like, to enable me to quiet the noise from around me and allow him to lead as I listen.
And it's such great advice. And I will say for our listeners, if you're listening and you aren't sure where to start, maybe it's been a while since you've picked up your Bible and you're just questioning, where do I start? Two things. One, feel free to send us an email at podcast@cph.org, and we can point you to some places to start, some easy resources to get started. Two, find a friend that you trust, someone like a Deb or someone in your friend circle. Ask them. We're meant to be together in community, and don't be afraid to ask for help of how are you approaching your Bible study? How are you approaching your devotion time? What advice might you have? So I will say, Deb, I'm going to put you on the spot since I just teed you up as an example of someone to ask. What would you say to someone who said, I don't know where to start? I want to get started in this new year. I want to lean in to scripture in a more intentional way than I have in the past. Where should I start?
I would probably ask a couple more questions that help me understand what is not going to perhaps overwhelm her, but at the same time, help her with, you know, if she's saying, I want to find a little quiet time each day, but I feel so discombobulated. I sit down and I don't know where to begin. I don't even know where to open my Bible. Then I'm probably going to, in one part, if she asks where to start in scripture, I'm going to lead her to the Gospel of John. I'm going to lead her to start there and encourage her to just take in a little bit each day and find someone who will hold her accountable to continue in that walk and give herself and have someone speaking grace as well. Give herself grace, someone else speaking grace into her life, that we, just because we miss a day or two or 10, that it doesn't mean we give up. But along with that, I also would probably encourage her to pick up a Bible study or devotional that keeps you in the Word each day. For instance, a study that is designed to be 5 daily reads. So it's like your personal daily devotion each day, 5 daily reads each week or each session as it's laid out, as some of the Bible studies I've written and fellow authors as well. I have heard so many women say who've received and have been fed by this kind of study that personal daily walk gives them, they're like, oh yes, this is where I am. I know where I'm going tomorrow. I have a plan and a purpose and a topic or something that's really speaking to me right now because it's on my mind throughout the day. Then I pick it up the next morning where I left off or the next day that I'm able to get to it. So, I would also maybe ask her, I sound like I'm going to ask this poor woman 20 questions, but I might also ask her if there is a topic or something that's really been either troubling her or speaking to her heart or that she'd like to know more about, and lead her to a resource like one of these studies, one of these that walks her through devotionally daily that may answer some of that's troubling her. Or for instance, on the topic of anxiety, we have a number of Bible studies at the ready that I know that I could offer and say, this really spoke to me. This might really resonate with you, as it takes you all over Scripture in terms of God meeting us where we are when we're struggling with things like anxiety. So again, what are her needs? What's her comfort level with readiness for daily time? Topic, and certainly the Word itself at the heart of everything, probably starting with the Gospel of John.
It's good advice. And for our listeners, we'll link to some resources in the show notes where you can go take a look and get started. Just a sampling of things. There's a whole lot more out there that you can use, but we'll get you started in the show notes. So Deb, as we wrap up, as we always do when you join us, what is your challenge to our listeners as we approach a new year, as we lean into what's coming next and watching all the great things that God has in store for us? What's your challenge for our listeners?
Ooh, I love this. And I should always know this is coming.
You should, because we do it every time.
We do this, yes. So I want to challenge our listeners to practice adopting a new piece in your plan with your daily walk. You may already find yourself daily or regularly in the Word, in a place and space for daily devotions. Maybe not. From the starting point where you are right now, I'd like you to grow in that, recommit or commit for the first time to what that can look like. And I'm going to give you a couple specific ideas that you could adopt as something maybe new or that guides you and reminds you to go to that place and space and time of your day for daily devotions. So one might be taking a screenshot of a verse. So if you have a Bible app or you're simply on social media and you see a verse shared, take a screenshot and maybe for a change up every week, make it your phone's lock screen so that every time you open your phone, the first thing you see is a verse or a passage brief enough to fit right there on your lock screen, but something that will end up being committed to memory quite easily. And again, remind you, hey, I haven't had that daily devotion time yet. So that's one suggestion. Another might be to create a visual faith graphic. Simply overlay a verse onto a photo or a piece of original art. And, if being creative in that manner really speaks to you, that might be something new that you could try. Again, to put the Word in front of you. You're hiding it in your heart as you are having it in front of you. Another possibility, handwrite some various verses, ones that you may be studying in those daily devotional times, put them on sticky notes, and get to a point where you've gotten one in every room of your house. So whatever room you walk into, you're reminded. And read it aloud again and again as you come and go throughout your rooms. So those, you know, they're just really simple. But those are some suggestions. It doesn't have to be that. But adding something, again, not to add something for the sake of, wow, now I have just more on my to-do list, but adding something that adds to your devotional experience, to your walk with the Lord as you hide his word in your heart, committing it to memory so that as the world assaults us from within and without, we're protected. We're guided, we're led by the Lord. We lean into the one who leads us.
It's good advice and it's a good challenge. So listeners, think about ways that you will lean in to help commit this, the wonderful word that our Lord has given us, where he comes to us and speaks to us and teaches us. How will you hide it in your hearts this year? How will you commit to being intentional about doing that? And as some of the suggestions that you shared, Deb, they're not big things. It takes seconds to write a post-it note and stick it up on your computer screen at work or in your kitchen on your fridge type of thing. So it doesn't have to be long, but to be in that habit of being in the Word will bring back dividends as you go through your days and keep you focused. So as always, Deb, it's so much fun to have you join us. And we appreciate you coming in as we talk about the Christmas and New Year and all of the excitement that we have, but the opportunities to lean in to God and his word in the midst of all of it.
Yes. Oh, it just doesn't get any better than recognizing that we don't have to stand on our own two feet. We get to lean. We lean in. We lean on him. May we lean well. And by his grace, we do. We don't gotta. We get to.
We Praise get to.
Lord. And guess what? You know, Elizabeth, one more thing. I just want to be a sheep.
On that note, listeners, be sure to check out the show notes for some suggested places to start with Bible study and devotional scripture reading, as well as links to Deb's website and how you can get in touch with Deb and learn, read more and hear more from her. So, well, Deb, now that I'm going to have I Just Want to Be a Sheep in my head all day, thanks so much for being with us.
As always, it's really my joy. Ba, 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 ba.
On that note, listeners, till next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Concordia Publishing House podcast. I pray that this time was valuable to your walk with Christ. We'd love to connect with listeners on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Concordia Pub. Visit cph.org for more resources to grow deeper in the gospel.